Since we're going through the Lord's Prayer, we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer together. If you would continue with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are holy and that you are good, and the whole earth is full of your glory. But we confess that because of sin, because of mankind's rebellion in Adam and in gladly following behind him, your glory is shielded from our eyes because of the sin that as cataracts prevents us from seeing your glory. But Father, you are good. And your love endures forever, and you sent Christ to save us from our sin by laying down his life to take the punishment, the condemnation on himself. He gives us his life that we may stand before our Heavenly Father, Judge of Lord in the of heaven and earth, with Christ's righteousness, with his holiness. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you would work in us to make us more holy each day in thought, in word, and in deed. We live in a world that is broken, that is ignoring you in the world that you have made. We live in a world where many propose that they speak on your behalf, but they're lying and spreading counterfeit gods and idolatry and passing on functional saviors that cannot save. We have forsaken the fountain of eternal life for cisterns, empty cisterns that can't hold water. And Father, as we come to you today, we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of our heart. Remove the cataracts. Remove the sin that binds us and prevents us from seeing your handiwork in creation, in providence, and in your word. Father, we come to you and we seek your wisdom. We come to you as a father, someone who dearly loves us and is intimately involved in our world and our struggles and in our cares. And you are a God at the same time who is sovereign and powerful, and you're able to give us what we need when we need it in the amount that we need. And we come to you as little children come to their parents and say, more please. We need your grace to sustain us and lead us. Make us more like you. Father, we come to you this morning and we lift up those in our congregation that are hurting. Lord, all of us carry something today, whether it be our own bodies, our minds, our loved ones, our parents, our children, our spouses, our friends, our siblings, our neighbors, the burden that we carry for them, we lay it at your feet this morning. Because we cannot carry it. It overwhelms us. But we know that Christ's shoulders are strong and they can hold our lives, our purpose, our meaning, our significance, because his burden is light, because his shoulders bear the weight. Father, I lift up Andy Rossi to you as he just battles illness. Strengthen his lungs, strengthen his mind, his body. Gives the doctors wisdom and compassion as they work with him. Pray that you would encourage all those who love him and support him. Give them emotional, physical, and spiritual strength to love Andy well. And I pray, and I know Andy desires to do your will, and I pray that you would work in his heart, strengthen his faith through these season of suffering that he's going through. Father, thank you for who you are and what you have done, that you are a God who loves us and says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Father, we love you and we trust you. Give us the courage to believe. And all God's people said, amen. Continue through the Sermon on the Mount. And last week we began the Lord's Prayer. And often the Lord's Prayer is very familiar. We can say it very rote, and we can spit it out. And it's often the most important teachings are in some of the most familiar words that we have. And my prayer as we're going through Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, as we slow down and examine each word in this prayer, that the Lord would draw us nearer and deeper to see new glorious things in his word that will change not only how we think, because that is so important, but how we love. And it would change our hearts, which will overflow in how we live. So this morning we look at a very common phrase. We read it to the children. Hallowed be your name. And I'm just going to, again, as we go through the Lord's Prayer, we don't have big ideas. We just have the phrase. Let Jesus have give us our big idea. But one of the things I want to say about the name of God is this: God's name is worthy of honor. God's name is worthy of honor. That's where we're going to begin. Then we're going to look at the reality in our world and our lives that God's name is being profaned. God's name is being profaned. Profane is the very opposite of hallowed or honored or glorified. And then finally, in our third point this morning, God's name will be glorified. God's name will be glorified. So I'll leave these up if you're taking some notes, but let's go to the first one. God's name is worthy of honor. When someone loves something, they want to tell other people about it, to be able to share that joy. Whether it be a good book that they're reading or a good album that just dropped on Spotify, if they find this great restaurant with some amazing food, they don't keep it a secret, they tell other people about it. You can't believe this new restaurant, and here's what I got, it was amazing. And they go on and on telling you about it, almost to the point of making your mouth water. And what do you want to do? You want to go to that restaurant. Maybe it's something about their sports team, an amazing play, an achievement, a record they've set. You tell about it. What about a beautiful place that you go and you go to this beautiful place, and now with the 21st century technology we have, what do? When we go to that beautiful place, we take our phone out and we snap a picture of it. And then while we're standing by this beautiful thing right here, we're on our phone going like this. But we then turn our attention back to said beautiful thing. But we want to share this beautiful place and we say, listen, the picture's not the same, but this is glorious. What about the love of a man or a woman? You get excited about this person you just met and you're all got the warm fuzzies and you want to tell people about it. You even might write a poem, or you might even compose a song. And if you don't make your own song, but you sing about this love that you have or an amazing experience that you have, you're not going to believe what happened to me. And you tell the story of something in order to share your joy, because joy that you have is not reaches its fulfillment until you share that joy. And so what do? We call people. We sing. We write about it. We post on social media. We take a person to go see it. Hey, next weekend, let's go to that place. And we give that thing. Hey, this is a great thing for the kitchen or the garage, and I'm going to buy it for you, and it's going to revolutionize your life. It slices, it dices, it belly and jelly and whatever. We want other people to share the joy that we found. And this is how Scripture calls the people of God to make much of God's holy name. We sang 10,000 Reasons, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship His holy name. Why? Because it's the words of Scripture calls us to do that. Sing praises to the Lord, all you saints. Give thanks to His holy name. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Give thanks to what? His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That's a song too. Where did it come from? Psalms. We bless the holy name of the Lord. And why do we do this? Because our God is great. His name is holy. We want to share His glory. So as we come to the Lord's Prayer last week, our Father in heaven was the address. And often when we pray, we say, our Heavenly Father. And that is just, hey, this is who I'm talking to, and that even reflects that. But we come to the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, or you could say the first request of the Lord's Prayer. And it's desire of this request that Jesus is teaching us how to pray is that His name be honored in His creation. It's the desire that His reputation be regarded as sacred and His word given the weight and significance it deserves. Hallowed be your name expresses the believer's heart that their Heavenly Father be revered and honored as His splendor deserves. That His glory in creation, in providence, how He moves throughout history, and special grace, how He transforms and gives life to spiritually dead people, be recognized, be seen, and then after it is seen, to be given the glory and honor for its great worth. Therefore, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, it's the people of God expressing the petition, the request, that the holiness of God's character be demonstrated on the earth. And when it is demonstrated, to be recognized. And when it is recognized, to be affirmed for what it is. And then it to be determinative, that we want the holiness and greatness of our God be what determines how people on earth are to live. And that His holiness be conformed with Him. Like Peter quoting out of Leviticus, be holy, for I am holy. We want to be like our Father, to have that family resemblance, that our Heavenly Father be honored and praised. Why is that? Because we revere our God. And that is the foundation of our relationship with Him. R.C. Sproul, in one of the books he wrote about the Lord... Oh, that's not R.C. Sproul's quote. That's Lambeau Field. Stay tuned. Let me read this. Let me read a quote. By placing this at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer... Oh, okay. Thank you, Kaim. By placing this as the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was giving it a place of priority. He was saying that a proper attitude towards God's name is the basis of everything. Because how we live before God is determined by our attitude towards Him and our view of who He is. No worship, no adoration, no obedience can flow from a heart that has no regard for the name of God. In other words, if you blaspheme the name of God, you will not worship Him. You will not obey Him. You will not follow Him as your Heavenly Father. holiness of God changes our attitude where we come before the God of the universe with reverence, with honor, with significance. Just as if we were called into before a judge in Duval County or to Congress or to the White House, we would be on our best behavior. We would hopefully, it's 21st century, so you never know. Prayerfully, we would, and we would not show up in flip-flops and dirty clothes. We would wear our Sunday best. To be able to go before somebody with significance in our society, in our governments. So the question I want to ask you now under this point, God's name is holy. Do you hallow God's name? Is His name worthy of your honor and your praise? Do you desire God's character and His reputation to be known and honored in your life, in your family's life, in your nation, in your world throughout creation? That is the basis of a relationship with our Heavenly Father, is honor and significance to His great name. For His name is worthy of honor, and therefore Jesus teaches His disciples to ask in prayer, "Hallowed be Thy name." Lambeau Field keeps coming up. Time, could you go to the next? I think we need to, Lambeau and the other ones are out of place, so I'll tell you when I go there. But would you go to the points where God's name is worthy of honor, and God's name is profaned? There we go. God's name is worthy of honor, but currently, in our world, God's name is being profaned. This morning, Silas read for us the story of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. It was the story of this mankind, this civilization, profaning God's name by exalting their own, refusing to be fruitful and multiply and spread throughout the earth and bring the glory of God throughout the earth. Rather, they say, let's stay here and build a great temple, and let's make a name for ourselves. Notice how Genesis puts it. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower that its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. In other words, we don't want to do what God has called us to do, to fill the earth with His glory and go throughout the nations. We want to stay here and build an empire for ourselves and for our glory that rivals God in heaven. So all the world, when they hear the name Babel, will say, whoa, what amazing, glorious people. And it's interesting, in Genesis 11, it said God had to go down to look at the little puny tower that these people of Babel were so impressed with themselves. Rather than making God's name great by obeying His commandments and doing His will and finding joy in the purpose that He has made us for, the people of Babel profaned His name by doing and magnifying their own will and their own glory. They dismissed God's instructions to fill the earth and sought to magnify their name and build an empire that was set in direct opposition to the name of our great God. Sound familiar? Story we have been living out generation after generation after generation in mankind. Babel is a carbon copy of mankind's sinful rebellion against God. Instead of seeking God's glory and trusting His word and obeying His commandments and playing a role in God's great and good story, what have we done? Mankind has turned away from God, and they have sought their own glory, trusted their own word, defined good and evil on our own, and made God, if He even gets a supporting role, makes God support our story. In doing so, has reaped a harvest of death and disintegration in our lives and in our world. The world is not disposed the way it's supposed to be because we have traded the truth of an infinite God for creatures and ourselves and our own glory. And it's destroying us. This is why, after God leaves people out of this empire of Egypt that is magnifying themselves and ignoring the God, Yahweh, the God of the earth and the God of the Hebrews, that God at Sinai appears before them and says, you shall have no other gods before me. And actually, this is not the verse I wanted, but this is a good one. The third commandment, that's what I was thinking. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Profaning God's name has tragic consequences. And that's not using God's name as a curse word. Don't do that either. But it's so much greater than cursing. So how, well, we have to ask ourselves, how do we as mankind and how do we as individuals profane the name of our good and gracious God? Unworthy thoughts, unworthy words, unworthy deeds. Let's look at this first one, unworthy thoughts. We profane God's name by thinking unworthy thoughts of Him. We obscure His glory. We defame His holiness. We spurn His wisdom. We ignore His commands. We profane God's name when we embrace idolatry. Idolatry is libel of God's character. And we will come up and say, I like to think of God like this. Or God would never do this. And we begin to publish in our minds and our thought and our words unworthy thoughts of the God of heaven and earth, just like a newspaper or a website publishes untrue and unworthy thoughts about other people. We commit libel when we have idolatry and embrace that in our hearts. We assume that God is other than how He has revealed Himself to do. Or what we do is we emphasize one aspect of His creation to the detriment of another aspect of His character. His love over His holiness. His wrath over His mercy. We substitute the one true God, how He has revealed to us in His Word, for an idol of our making that's made in our image. And often our views, our God, are nothing more than a reflection of ourselves. Whether we do it intentionally or we do it unintentionally. Nothing is more hateful to God than idolatry. Why? But because it profanes His holy name in our minds. Not only are we profane Him with unworthy thoughts, but unworthy words. We profane God's name by misrepresenting God. We do this when we speak of God's character in ways contrary to how He's revealed Himself. We emphasize what He hasn't emphasized or ignore what He demands or we distort the balance between the two. We teach as gospel what is nothing more than our social or political or personal agenda. We profane God's holy name when we misrepresent God's word and God's character and God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, this is what I fear, because each day, Sunday, I stand up here and I open up the Word of God and I say, thus saith the Lord, and I pray it's not thus saith Chris, because you don't need more of me. You need more of the holiness of our God. Jesus has sent His disciples into the world as His witnesses, to share his message, to preach and teach anything other than the word of God, Paul calls anathema. He says it's accursed. We can't preach our agenda, our politics, our kingdom, or our glory. We preach Christ and all that he's commanded us. To twist and corrupt and misrepresent God by what we say and what we teach dishonors God's holy name with our words. Here's another one. We profane God with unworthy deeds. We defile and profane God's name by sinful living. As Christians, we are people of his name. We are Christians are themselves little Christs that go into the world. We are light of the world because Jesus is the light, and we bring his light into the world. And when we say one thing and live another way, a la the Pharisees, we profane the name of God. How a Christian lives matters. We don't just get saved, go through the motions, pray the prayer, walk the aisle, do whatever, and then we're good. We go on our way. We're called to conform to the image of Christ, to grow more in that family resemblance that we have been adopted into. We are called to reflect God's holiness in our lives. Remember, back in Matthew chapter 5, if you just look probably to the left, maybe a page back, verse 16, or 15, or 14, excuse me. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket or on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, which are consistent with the Father that you belong to. Let them see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. When we bring forth the good works that have been prepared beforehand, when we bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's working, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, we bring glory to God's name. However, when we indulge in the deeds of the flesh, we communicate to the world that though we say these words, God's name is not holy, it's not great, it's not wonderful, it's not glorious, but it's common and ordinary because it has no change and distinction in our lives. Our works don't save us. But our faith in Christ saves us, but works are never alone. Faith is never alone. They're always accomplished by works. To live a life of sinfulness and selfishness, we dishonor God's holy name with our actions. Ocean Park, God's name is holy. It's worthy of all glory and majesty, dominion and authority forever and ever. And we say at the service, amen. However, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are recognizing that unholy thoughts about God, that unholy words misrepresenting God, unholy deeds profane the great and glorious name of God. And therefore, Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name. God's name is worthy of honor. God's name is being profaned, and God's name will be glorified. I realize I skipped Lambeau Field. Let me tell you, because everybody's going to be like, why in the world? We have words, we don't use hallowed very often in our vernacular. That's why the King James written 400 years ago, and then all the new modern translations, it's hallowed. But we don't have that word hallowed very often, except when he places like the hallowed turf of Lambeau Field, the hallowed halls of Congress, the hallowed grounds of Arlington. What makes those places special is they are given places of honor. They're hallowed. And that's how, as Christians, we come before the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Honored, glorified, magnified. That's how Lambeau Field is, plays out the gospel. So when you're watching football this afternoon, you'd be like, yeah, we can do our devotions. But ultimately here, God's name will be glorified. The last thing I want to do for you this morning is to heap on more things that you have to do. That you have to do X, Y, and Z to make sure you're hallowing God's name. But the desire of the children of God is that God's name would be hallowed. And that's why we pray, hallowed be thy name. Remember, this is a request. It's not a statement. It's a request of the children of God going to their Almighty Father who loves them, who's intimately involved in their life, who's sovereign over heaven and earth, is holy in saying, Lord, I believe you're holy. Help my unbelief every day when I don't treat your name holy. It's echoing the prayer of Jesus in John 17, Father, glorify thy name. It's saying, Father, every day I want to be a good son or a good daughter, but I know how desperately I fall. I can't pick myself up by my bootstraps and get it right. I need you to work in me, to make me more like Jesus, to make me more holy, so I can glorify your name. God's glory is the purpose for which he created the world. It's the end for which all the saints, sons and daughters are called and converted for. But God is not glorified if his name is not being openly profaned, both in the nations of the world and the hearts of his children. What are we to do when we look on social media and on the news and we open the newspaper and our emails when the nations rage in rebellion against God? When people live without reference to God, when leaders are political and social and Instagram influencers are building their own kingdom to make a name for themselves to the detriment of the name of Christ. When we look at the church and it's weakened by compromise, when the gospel is watered down and it's twisted, when scripture is being hijacked by pagans for political power and political wealth. In such a broken world, we say, hallowed be thy name, because we can't do it on our own. We need our Heavenly Father to work with his Spirit in us to make us more like Jesus. If God's name is going to be hallowed, God must be the one who acts. And we pray, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Make your name holy in my life and in my world. There's two aspects of the work of God glorifying his name. It begins with the individual glory of God, not our glory, but individual glory to God through obedience. Disciples of Jesus cannot honor God's name by their own power. It is only by God's enabling grace. And that's why we pray, hallowed be thy name. In me, in our church. And remember, this is not my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's our Father. Glorify your name in Chris's life and in Ocean Park's life and in the church, the Catholic church, the little c, the universal church, throughout the world, that they would glorify our Father in heaven through obedience. It's saying, Lord, I desire to honor and hallow your name. Enable to me reflect that glory in my thoughts and words and my deeds. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Conform my mind to your word. Align my words to your word. Enable my life to obey your calling for me, that you may be given honor in my life. We come to Jesus every day as little children. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Little children who are weak and wounded, sick and sore. And what does the song say? Jesus ready stands to save us. Every day, his desire is to take care of his children, his little sheep that keep running away, and Jesus keeps going back and bringing them in. But he doesn't leave us in our state of brokenness and immaturity. He transforms us, and he works in us. And like a master artist, sculpting a piece of rock, he chisels our ungodliness and our rebellion and our selfishness away from us, and it hurts. God, why do you keep banging on me? Like a tree that has grown all wonky, and the master gardener comes in and begins to prune and cut, and the tree bleeds. And if you could personify the tree would say, what are you doing? This hurts. Look at me. I'm falling all apart. But the master gardener and the master artist has a vision for your life that honors and glorifies God. This very thing we see all throughout the scripture. Paul talks about it. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. He has called you from your sin, and he is purging your sin. He is making you more like our Heavenly Father, making you more like your Christ, our brother, that family resemblance. And what will happen? God will be glorified. And each day we wake up and say, Lord, I'm worried about this. And I don't know what's coming. And I know there'll be something in my life that is going to get me all riled up. But hallowed be your name in my life. I want you to make me obey and honor and glorify you. You got your work cut out for you, Lord. But you are good, and your love endures forever. There's a verse in Isaiah, this picture of the glory of what God is doing. And it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, the descendants of Abraham, who we are by faith. Jacob shall no more be ashamed. No more shall his face grow pale. Why? Because the story of God's people are sinful and rebellious, and all we like sheep have gone astray. And we are pale out of shame of how we have not honored and glorified our great and mighty God. But then it continues, for when he sees his children, the work of my hands, God is talking about this, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. We remember what they were like. But look what the Lord has done in their lives, in their heart. He has transformed these people. And now they sanctify my name. They glorify my name. They see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. And they will sanctify who? The Holy One of Jacob, not the people. And will stand in awe of the God of Israel because what he has done in the lives of his people. We pray to our Heavenly Father to honor his name in our hearts and our lives, because we are weak, but he is strong. Because we are unholy, but he is holy. Ocean Park, do you pray this prayer? Lord, hallowed be thy name. And how I think of you. Open my eyes to see beautiful things from your word. And devote yourself to reading God's word, not just to check that box, to become a Pharisee, like I did it, I pulled it off. But because it shows us the glory of something beautiful. something magnificent, something that you want to share because it's so magnificent. As C.S. Lewis says, joy is not complete until it is shared. Do you pray this prayer? Do you desire God to be seen wholly in your life, in your thoughts and words and deeds? You cannot do it on your own. You need Jesus. And pray, hallowed be your name in me. But here's another thing. It's not just about this individual aspect of God's work, but it's this big theological word, eschatological glory, meaning the end which where we're going. Eschatology is the study of end times. So what God is doing and how he's moving his story of creation. Creation, good. Fall into sin, bad. Restoration that he has, and ultimately consummation when his on earth as it is in heaven. So there is the glory of God and who the story. This is the end of the story where we're going. God's glory is not just individual transformation, but it's a global transformation. All of the world will be full of the glory of God, like the waters that cover the sea. A day is coming when Christ's kingdom will be prepared to receive, Christ's creation will be prepared to receive his kingdom. But today it's not. Why? Because his name is not valued. His ways are not followed. His holiness is not honored. The kingdom is here in the midst, in the hearts of his people, but it will be on earth as it is in heaven. There will be a transformation and we will see him. It's not here yet, but that day is coming. God individually will sanctify the world, but this, check this out, this threw me off, I had to think about it. God will be sanctified throughout the world. The way the nations look at God will be transformed. And they'll no longer say, I want to build up my kingdom, my empire, my power. I want to make much of God. And every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and give him that glory. This is the petition. This is what gives us hope. This is what gives us hope. In a world that is broken by sin, that's full of tears, that there is a day, as Revelation says, that Jesus will wipe away those tears because his kingdom will be seen in full. In a world now that's enslaved by evil, by death and Satan, the disciples are to lift their eyes to the Father and cry out for the revelation of his glory, for the little shafts of glory that come through like the light comes through a dark room in the morning when the sun comes up. You begin to see it. And these are the promises. Numbers 14, but truly as they live, as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Isaiah, they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the earth, Habakkuk says, will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The heart of God's children desires God's name to be glorified throughout the earth. And yes, we work towards that end. And there's commandments that we are called. But we know at the end, it's not up to me. It's not up to Ocean Park. It's up to the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we go work in the fields. And we dig up the rocks and we till the land and we fertilize and we water and we rest our head down because we know the Spirit causes growth. And the glory of God is coming. And we want more people to see his glory, to recognize his glory, to testify his glory, for his name is worthy of honor and glory forever and ever. Ocean Park, do you want God's name to be hallowed? For his glory to be seen in your life and in all the nations of the world? Because the promise is that's where we're going. So let's start seeking that now. And that doesn't mean, again, we pull ourselves up our bootstraps and we put our lists together and say all these things that we have to do and then we will accomplish it. not by power, not by our might, but by your Spirit and for your glory. Ocean Park, do you pray, hallowed be thy name? Do you want to make more of Christ in your life and reflect his glory? Pray, hallowed be your name in me. Are you praying for the nations that they will see God's glory? Pray, hallowed be your name on earth. Are you praying, hallowed be your name? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we pray, hallowed be thy name. In our lives, may our thoughts be guided by your truth. May our words reflect your heart, and may our lives be faithful representations of your kingdom. Father, make us more holy so we can give you praise. And Father, may we be captivated by the glory of the picture of what you are doing in and through your church. To bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. May we be captivated by that image so that the stories that break every 24-hour news cycle do not distract us, do not cause us great calamity and woe and fear. But we know that no matter what the kingdoms and the administrations of this world do, there is a greater glory that is coming, and that is our King. And we pray, hallowed be your name. And all God's people said,